Hello, shalom, welcome back. We are now starting the third class out of a total of what will be 12 classes on the Sefer Mesillat Yesharim from Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzalo. Now, if you take a look at the console in front of you at the top, you will see the link to the Mesillat Yesharim page that I've set up. On there you will find the Hebrew and also an English translation of the Mesillat Yesharim. Along with that, you will also find archives of the last two shiurim. And that's at www.teachertome.com. Okay. So beginning now with the second chapter, and we're going to cover three chapters in this shiur. The Rochal begins to introduce us to the first steps in a system. The trait of watchfulness, zihirut. Now, when we go through the chapters, we're not going to be reading every single paragraph, every single line due to time constraints. Now, there's not a single wasted word in the Sefer, but nonetheless, we can center in on those parts that are going to help us to clearly learn the lessons that are trying to be conveyed to us by the Ramchal. Now, I would recommend that after you hear the shiur, that you go ahead and take the time to read, in English or Hebrew, whichever is more comfortable for you, the three chapters that we're going to be covering. Certainly after having this introduction and a little bit of depth in terms of the character trait of Zihirut, of being watchful, reading through the Ramchal's works will certainly enlighten you and give you even a greater depth into it. And remember from the previous Shurim, as we've said, the Mesillat Yesharim is a tool. It's something that's intended to be used, to be lived with, something that you need to repeat over and over again in order to be able to get any real benefit from it. Now, the idea of being watchful means being watchful of one's own actions. The Ramchal begins, Hine inyan hazihirut hu shiye adam nizhar b'ma'asav u'b'inyanav. Watchfulness is to be careful in all deeds and matters. Klomar, that is to say, mitbonen umfakeh al ma'asav u'drachav. It means to say he's going to think and he's going to monitor all his actions and ways, hatovim hem imlo, whether or not they're good or they're bad. Now, the idea of being watchful, the Ramchal tells us, is more than just doing the right thing. It's about preventing harm to oneself. Levilti azov nashol sakanat havedun has v'halila. That a person shouldn't abandon his soul and bring himself to self-destruction. He shouldn't walk like a blind man in the dark. Now this is something that anybody who thinks is going to come to a conclusion that he needs to do. I mean, his mind is going to force him. It's incumbent upon his common sense. Since a man has knowledge and understanding to save himself and run from his soul's destruction. Now, what makes man different than the animals? So frequently, the immediate statement will be, oh, his ability to speak. Dibur. This is what makes man different than the animal. But ask for a moment. It's not true that parrots speak. They've taught monkeys sign language. So there must be something a little bit more to this. In fact, I'll even go further. You know, when they first started working with primates in order to teach them how to speak using sign language, the first thing they did was that they started working with these sort of boards, electronic boards, where the monkey would have various pictograms and could go ahead and hit on the pictogram that represented what he wanted to say. So, at first, of course, they assumed that any sort of communication that was going to come from this animal was going to be communication of the nature of behavioral, you know, Pavlovian type of discussion. I mean, the animal's hungry, he hits food. The animal is upset, it's going to hit anger, etc., etc. So now, Over time, though, they went ahead and they continued this study. And what they found was something very interesting. One time, they were out at a bay, and all of a sudden, a seagull flies by. Now, this monkey goes ahead, it's a gorilla, and she goes ahead and she punches in on bay and the water, and then she punches in on bird, meaning seabird, seagull. Now, certainly that took a little bit more than just Pavlovian type of logic to be able to come up with something like that. So clearly then the animal and man are separated by something a little bit more than just being able to communicate and talk. So what then is Dibur? So the idea of Dibur, of being able to speak, is not talking about speech in terms of one's ability to pronounce words or get across his physical desires. Rather, speech here is talking about one's ability to speak to themselves. Their ability to be able to close their eyes and talk to themselves. To possess the ability of introspection. To be able to remove oneself from the world around him, and to be able to, in a separate plane, communicate with himself, to look at everything that's around him in an objective, or at least not being in the midst of the situation, meaning he can pull himself out and look down on the situation, and sort of separate himself from his current physical, emotional connection to what's going on around him. That is the level of Dibur. This is what makes man different than the animal. Now, it's interesting to note that the Gemara in general mentions four levels. Domim, Tzemach, Chayim, Medaver. The idea of rock, meaning inanimate object. Certainly this is in line with a person who is not of this world, a body that's sitting there dead, a rock. The next level above that, it's tzemach, it's plant life. Plant life, in terms of, let's say if a person was going to be on the level of a plant, it would mean that essentially he did nothing. He just sort of sat there and existed and lived. Being an animal means to say that he can go ahead and walk around, move around, do what he needs to do. And then, of course, being man, we've already described, is this ability to be able to think, but not just on a logical level, but on a level of introspection. This sort of objective type of thought. Now, the Kuzari adds a fifth level to this. The fifth level that he adds, he says, is Yehudi, is the Jew. This is a spiritual level. This is the level of the idea of a person who serves his Creator and binds himself through fulfilling the Creator's will. Connects himself to that will, which means he connects himself to the Creator himself. This idea of being the Yehudi is ultimately speaking what the Ramchal, in terms of his entire system, is looking for us to be able to accomplish. At the moment, though, we're dealing with this world and how to deal with it and what's in front of us. So the Ramchal tells us like this. He says, "Ech yitahen sheyirtze lahalim enav me'atzlato." Who's the one that's going to go ahead and he's going to turn away from saving himself? "En lecha pichitut v'hololut ra mizev vadai." So meaning there's nothing going to be lower than this. "Va'oseken hine hu pachot me'habemot u'me'ahayot asher b'tiva'am lishmor et atzmam." It's going to be lower than an animal whose nature is to guard himself and protect himself. He's going to be like a vegetable. "V'alken yivrehu," they run away from problems. "V'yanusu mikol ma shireh lehem eyoto mazik lehem." They see something that potentially might be a problem, they run from it. "V'aholech bo'olamo b'li hitbonanut." Now a person who goes through the world without introspection, without looking at himself, Im tova darko ora, if his way is good or bad, inehu kesuma olech al sifat an nahar, it's like a blind man walking on the lip of shesakanato vadayatsuma, without any question, he's in tremendous danger. Vorato krova me'atzalato, and the chances of him perishing are certainly greater than the chances of him being saved. Ki chesur anashmir v'nei ha'ivaron atvi, o mipnei ivaron haratzoni, when it comes to danger, when it comes to the potential of falling off the cliff, whether you're doing it on purpose or you're not doing it on purpose, the danger ends up still being the same. If one closes his eyes and walks on the banks of the river, there's a chance that he's going to fall in. The key here is that running one's life by habit, instead of being awake and aware of oneself and deeds, is the key to sin. Being awake. V'hin Yirmiyahu aya mitonen al ro'a b'nei doro. Yirmiyahu, he goes and he complains about the people in his generation. What did he say about them? Shayu rodfim v'ochim bimrutzat hergilam. They went their whole life going about in habit, they didn't take any time for themselves to go ahead and check into their deeds and their ways. They fell into evil without even seeing it. This, in fact, this idea, this blindness, meaning being asleep, being depressed, the chief weapon of the Yetzer Hara. It's exactly what the Yetzer Hara wants from you. It wants you to be asleep. It wants you to be depressed. You see, when man is asleep, he's not going to see where he's going to go. The Yetzer Hara, one must understand, is not something that is distant from him. It's not as if there's something outside there that is forcing him to take any particular direction. For the average man, that is the case, that it's not from the outside at all. Rather, it's our own internal forces. It's our own internal desires. This Yetzer Hara, this sleep, this depression comes from within us. Now, the great and the righteous who have vanquished their own personal selves have come above that level. That's already something else. But for us, we're talking about our own internal desires. That's what the Yetzer Hara is. V'ulam hine zot be'emet echat mitachbulot ha'Yetzer Hara v'armato. להכביד עבודתו בתמידות על ליבות בני אדם עד שלא יישאר להם רווח להתבונן ולהסתכל באיזה דרך הם הולכים. The key thing that the Yetzer Hara is looking to do, the key thing that you inside, your own desire, is driving, is the heaviness of your heart, is to go ahead and to get you so busy, so busy about not hoping, not seeing a future, to seeing that there's no place to go, nowhere to turn. It puts you to sleep. There's nothing to do, just go to sleep. That's the Yetzer Hara telling you there's no hope. Ki yodehu shiule hayu samim libam kimat kat al dachem. Even if a little bit of attention was being paid to one's path, vaday shmiyad hayu matchilim linachem maasehem vaitachrata olechet umitkaberet behem ad shayu ozvim machet legamre. Meaning, once a person goes ahead and looks at himself for a minute and sees what he's doing wrong and thinks for a moment about the repercussions, in a clear and awake manner, then there's no question that that person is going to go ahead, regret what he's done. He's going to change his path. He's going to go forward. He's going to move. Now, I'm not just talking about depression in a clinical fashion. Certainly, there are ideas of physical imbalances, and we're not talking about that. And I'm saying that this idea is not just on the level of depression on a heavy sense, where a person is feeling depressed, but even the slight sleep and daydream of believing that something that one is doing which is wrong is not in fact happening, meaning it's a blindness. That's the sort of depression. On my mother's side, I remember once having a conversation with my grandfather, not long before he had passed away. He was an American, served in the Navy, a beautiful man in every possible way. And he wasn't particularly religious. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I remember telling him, I says, "No, why not do tshuva?" And I remember him answering me. He says, "You know, just too late. Too old. To this, to that. Meaning, I saw something. I was too young to know then, to be able to point out the key thing that was missing. And that was hope. That was understanding that there's always hope." So I realized in time something very interesting. And I connected to four letters. I'll explain to you how I get to these four letters in a moment. The Hebrew alphabet can be spelled out, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, from beginning to end. It can also be spelled beginning. And there's something called the Atbash. The Atbash is where you take the first letter and then you connect it to the second letter. So meaning if you took a word and you had an Aleph, you would change the Aleph in that word to a Tav. You took the Bet and you would change it into a Shin. Now, in our prayers, we frequently see prayers that are written in verses that begin from Aleph until Tav, and then sometimes we see prayers from Tav until Aleph. And these represent the prayers, the dialogue from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven, and vice versa. The Atbash, the two going together, represents the two things coming together, meaning the conversation of heaven and earth unified. Now, taking that idea, we can see that the Aleph in Atbash, meaning again, taking the first letters here, taking if you have an Aleph, I saw that a little bit of a connection. I mean, the concept is there, and I'm sort of connecting it to the letters. The Aleph is emunah, is faith. When a person has faith, meaning when he's starting here and he's going up, this is the Aleph going to the Tav, he's going up. When he has faith, when he believes, what will happen is he will have tikva, he will have hope, he'll have Tav, the other end of the line. Meaning the answer to his faith is hope. When a person has bitachon, the bet, the next letter in the alphabet, he's answered with simcha, the shin. He's answered with happiness. When you trust in God, you'll be happy. Because you know everything is being taken care of. Because you know this is His world and everything that happens in it is according to His divine plan. Just a cute little thing. But very profound in the sense that this is the key. The key is that being depressed means there's a lack of hope, but the lack of hope came from someplace. It came from a lack of faith. It came from a lack of belief that things can change, that things will be different, that God in fact controls the world, that everything will change. This is God's world. Nothing happens here that is not in His divine plan. A plant grows when the malach hits it and says, "It's time for you to grow." God's will is what makes everything turn. So when a person is depressed, when a person is sinning, it's because he's given up hope. is because a ruach of folly, as they say, has come upon him. In Gemara Brachot, it says a person doesn't sin until a ruach of folly. What's this ruach of folly? It's this blindness that came from the desire that was within, this yetzahara, this inclination. And the key was that it took away, or it worked on oneself to remove one's faith, so that his hope would be diminished, so that his eyesight spiritually and physically would be clouded, and then he would enter into sin. So therefore, changing things means starting from the beginning, means starting from emunah, starting from faith, starting from knowledge that this is God's world and everything can change. Everything can change. Putting that into action, as we said, requires introspection, requires looking into oneself, looking into what's around him, and paying attention and being awake. ופשוט הוא שאפילו אם יפקח האדם על עצמו, אין בכל כל להינצל, לנצל, אילולי הקדוש ברוך הוא עוזרו. But one thing a person though has to realize is that even if a person's watching himself, he doesn't have koach necessarily on his own, because the entire world around him is not his, but it's God's. So therefore it requires the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is there waiting for him. Ki yetzara takif mod, the wicked, the yetzahara, is very, very tough, very tenacious. It constantly wants to convince you that there's no hope. So only with a strong sense of faith is that going to change. But you have to understand, as it says, the wicked one looks to the righteous and seeks to kill him. God doesn't leave him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves anyone. Anyone who has the faith and wants to move forward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and ready. Now if a man will watch himself, if he'll monitor himself, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, then God will help him. And he will be saved from the Yetzahara. He will be saved from the clouds. He will have hope. He will move forward. But if he doesn't watch over himself, meaning if he doesn't take the initiative, if he doesn't have actions of watching oneself, then also God isn't going to monitor him. God isn't going to work with him. If he doesn't care, who's going to care about him? And this is similar to what the rabbis have taught us. Anybody who doesn't have de'a, doesn't have knowledge, you're not allowed to have compassion on him. What does it mean, de'ah, knowledge? The idea of emunah, the idea of faith, from a Jewish perspective, is something which is a beginning. Meaning, you have a simple faith, but that has to go beyond the level of simple faith. A person must investigate, a person must look into things, a person must learn Torah day and night, investigate the greatness of God, His order of the universe, how He put it together, how His relationship works with God. And he must know God. He must bring his faith to the level of knowledge. Now, this idea of knowing God can be on different levels depending on the person, but a person has to at least take that first initiative of moving forward. So just a quick word, the Khuzari, when asked by the king of the Khuzars, I mean the Rav and the Khuzari, is asked by the king of the Khuzars, it's a long story about who the Khuzari is and what the Khuzari is, but understand this, it's a dialogue that's taking place where the king wants to know what's the right path. So he's asking a rabbi, he asks a priest, he asks a mufti, what have you. Anyways, he asks the Jewish rabbi, and he says to him, he says, "No, who's your God?" And he says, "The one who took us out of Egypt." Meaning, we know God because we experienced God, because God revealed himself to the Jewish people. Everything you know because either you experienced it, or you know it because of the fact that there were witnesses to this. The Jewish people, as a whole, witnessed and experienced God. They have a first-hand experience, and they have passed this down, this witness, to their children. We, many generations later, can boast the fact that each and every one of us doesn't claim that one man saw God, but that we all saw God, and that we as a whole, a Jewish people, experienced God. And there's no change in the story here. It's a universal story among the Jewish people, told at the Pesach Seder. That story has gone on for generations and generations. And it hasn't been a telephone situation, but a direct line. So that's a beginning for one to be able to develop this idea and develop one's simple faith into knowledge. And beyond that, Huma Sha'amru im en ani li mili, if I am not for me, who will be for me? If a person doesn't take the initiative, who is going to take the initiative? Meaning, a person has to go ahead and make the changes in his own life. A person has to wake up, a person has to look at himself, a person has to look at his life, a person has to turn around and go ahead and develop his faith and his belief in God. Because there he will find hope, and when he takes these steps, God will match and answer him, and he will be saved from the blindness that's created from depression, from lack of hope. And in Hebrew, depression is called lihit yaish, to give up hope. There's always hope. Always. Now, starting the third parak of Mishle Yisharim, the Ramchal tells us that monitoring oneself, being zahir, being careful, there are two considerations. First, you got to know what's right and wrong. He's got to know what he's got to choose in terms of positive and what he's got to stay away from in terms of negative. And the second, he's got to look then at what he's actually doing. Is what he is doing good, or is what is he doing wrong? Now, the exercise of monitoring one's deeds must take place before the action, meaning to be awake and aware not to sin, to bring into his consciousness what he has already prepared with the first consideration that we mentioned, meaning knowing what's right and wrong through learning, etc. And then, of course, secondly, is after the action. He's already done something, he's got to look back. When he's sitting and doing the exercise of Hitbonenut, of introspection, he's got to look and see what has transpired in his day. And he's got to see, was this good? Was it bad? What did I do? The appropriate time for this is during Kriyat Shema Lamita, during the time when we're going to sleep, and the Chachamim set up for us the evening prayers, the evening Shema that we say before we go to sleep. And part of that Seder, part of that order of prayers, is we're supposed to go ahead and take the time to review our day. How carefully? Well, it says once about the Chavetz Chaim, that one time he was extremely upset. And why was he upset? Because he wasn't sure what he did with an hour of his day. He lost that hour. He doesn't know what he did. I mean, he spent every moment, every hour, every second accounting for everything that happened. And he looked at it for what it was, a tremendous loss to have missed an hour and not know what he did during that hour. meaning he wasn't zahir, wasn't being awake and careful at that moment. If all of us are not necessarily on that level, it's certainly something that we can all reach. The more awake we are throughout the day, paying attention to what we do, questioning every action that we do, making sure that this is in fact what God wants. Now, during this introspection, and we're looking back on what we've done, it also opens the door for tshuva. If needed, you see there's something wrong, you can go ahead, you can fix it. There's always hope. There's always the ability to fix. And part of fixing, part of tshuva, is also, of course, seeking a means to prevent it from happening again. So he said, the second consideration is b'shat maaseh v'shelo b'shat maaseh. When you're doing, and when you're not doing. Meaning, after the fact. Now, in general, one must be careful all the time, and then all of his deeds. You can't be selective, I'm going to spend part of the day doing this, part of the day not. No, this is an exercise that has to become part and parcel of who you are. You have to change who you are. As we mentioned before, that's what the Ramchal wants. He wants you to change who you are. And when you change who you are, everything else will change. When you pour Torah into a vehicle that has been clarified, that has been perfected in terms of its character, he says it will shine bright in the universe. Things will change, things will happen. That's what you need to do. You have to go ahead and make yourself into that keli, into that ability to receive the Torah. And a person has to go ahead and he has to check every single corner of his life. This is like we say on Pesach. The exercise of going into every single nook and cranny within your home. I can tell you in my home, it takes hours and hours for us to do the bedikat chametz, to check every pocket, to check every corner, to check every single place where chametz could have possibly gotten. Chametz, representing the idea of sin, is something that has to be rooted out by looking into every single detail. And when you've done that, then it's possible to root it all out. Then it's possible to know that there's no chametz. It's possible to know that you've made this squeaky clean keli, this squeaky clean bulb that will shine when you fill it with Torah. Klal hadavar yadam ma'ayin al masav kulam ufachei hakol derachav shulo laniach la'atzmo ergel ra umidarara. So the general principle here is that a person has to look in all his deeds, he has to watch over all of the directions he goes, that he doesn't leave any habit that is wrong, any bad character. Now, all the more so, of course, we're talking about sin. I mean, there's no question. But his very being, he has to call it the question all the time to make sure that he is going ahead and moving in the direction of God's will. A person goes, when he goes to do business, he's not careful about everything. He's not worried about losses. Constantly, he's going to be inspecting everything. There's no greater business in life than living. Bad habits destroy everything. Now, there are two ways that the Yetzer Hara leads one into destruction. Two ways that depression, that being asleep, and they're synonymous. Two ways that this draws a person down. One is an illusion. Actually, they're both illusions, but one is a cloud. Or he doesn't see anything that's in front of him. Or he turns around and he sees like this pillar in front of him. Kilu hu adam, like it's a man standing in his way. Adam kilu hu amud, and a man like he's a pillar. And everything becomes distorted. And he sees, oh, there's no hope. I can't move forward. This is in my way. This excuse, that excuse. There's no excuses. A person must constantly say to himself, what do I do now? What's the next direction? Where do I move? I like to constantly think of the idea of the king and his knights. That the knight in shining armor, he has to go out. He has to do the will of the king with all his might and all his soul. Save the princess! Run! Go! Victory is possible. But even if a person didn't reach the goal, chivalry demands that he makes the effort, that he shows the grace and beauty in his actions. In fact, chivalry is more important how you do the act than if you've accomplished the deed. I remember once reading an interesting story, an example of chivalry, where a knight in shining armor by a dog. So of course, how fair is it for him to fight the dog wearing all his... men fought the dog. Now, of course, this is a little bit foolish in one sense, but the idea here was that doing the action in the right way, that was chivalry. That was what was, in fact, praised. Moving forward. Now, with God's help and your proper deed, everything will happen and be accomplished. Now, part of moving forward, person, as we said, of course, Torah being the key, meaning learning what's right, what's wrong. But another thing is, the only one who has escaped, one who has already gone ahead and moved beyond the various distortions. Actually, I need to go back. I think I skipped here. The second distortion that's used by the Yetzirah, sorry to go back for a moment, is even more difficult than the first. Meaning, it's not just a question of a person being blind. It's like he sees the bad as being good. And seeing the good as if it was bad. And like that, it can build up and strengthen the evil. It's not just that there's a lack of seeing the truth. It drives a person to run after and find things to bolster his distorted vision. It starts to drive a person forward into the pit instead of forward up the mountain. This is the evil that drives a person into the pit of despair completely until there's nothing. So the Ramchal gives us advice, like I said before, like as I started before, was that the Torah was a means to get out of this. But more importantly, those that already came out of this, those that came out of the bounds of what this situation, they can now see the truth. They're the ones that can go ahead and give advice about really what's going on. Who are these people? Of course, these are the tzaddikim, the rabbanim, the people that have made all these challenges. They go through it all, but they've come out the other side. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. They've already gotten there, and now they look back, and they can tell you how to get through that tunnel too. Klal shel davar tzrich adam liyot mitbonen b'sichlo tamid b'chol zman u'bizman kavua lo b'hitbodedu. Meaning a person has to be mitbonen, he has to look in, he has to have introspection all the time. He has to think about everything. And in particular, he has to set aside a time to be alone, to be away from everything else, to meditate on his day, on his actions and everything that's in front of him, and to meditate on Mahu Aderech Haimiti Lefichok Katorah Shadam Srich Lelech Bo. And to go ahead and think and learn and know what is in fact the path of Torah that a person should go on. V'achar kach yivo l'itbonen al ma'asav, then to think about his deeds. Im hem al haderech hazeh im lo, whether or not they are on that path or not. Ki al yedezeh vaday shiye lo nakel l'taher mikora u'liyasher kol derechav. Then it will become easy for him to purify all the evil and to straighten out his path. Kumosha ketuvum, like the pasuk says, "Pales magal raglecha v'chol derechecha yikonu." Consider your path and your feet, and all of your paths will be established. Omer nachpesa darchenu v'nachkora v'nashuva ad Hashem. Let us seek out our ways and examine them, and we will return to Hashem. In the fourth parak, the Ramchal lays out, and we're just going to do somewhat of an overview very, very quickly on this, the means for this trait of being watchfulness. And we've covered a lot of it within the shiur itself already up to now. Hine mashe mevi et adam al derech klal el hazirut. What in general brings a person to this concept of watchfulness? Hu limud ha-Torah. There's a learning of Torah. V'uma sh'amar Rabbi Pinchas b'tchilat ha-Braita. As we know that the entire Sefer Mesil Yishayim is based on this Braita. Going back now to the first and second Shurim. Torah mevi l'zehirot. The Torah brings a person to being watchful. Amnam al derech prat. However, in particular, ha-mevi l'zeh, what brings a person to this? Hu hitbonenut al chomer ha-avoda asher chayav ba-adam. Is by going over the materials about that which a man is obligated to in this world. Va'omek hadin aleha ve'etzeh lo zeh min ha'iyun v'ma'asim ha'ktuvim b'sifrei ha'kodesh. Now he looks into all the various, there's various stories and so forth that are written throughout, meaning all the agadatas and all the various stories regarding the chachamim and the things they've done and what they've done. These are things that lift a person, that awaken a person, and practical examples of living this life. And by going ahead and learning, in fact, those direct teachings regarding these issues of watchfulness itself, of being careful, meaning by a person spending time learning and having a discipline in Musar, be it in Hasidus, be it whatever the case is, but something that will awaken and develop a person's knowledge of God and his obligations in that relationship. And that's what's going to go ahead and drive a person and move a person into being watchfulness, being Zahir. I encourage, like I said at the beginning of the shiur, that people should go ahead and learn through the three parakim on their own now, read them over, keeping in mind what we've said, and you'll find that there is tremendous, tremendous benefits in doing so, and only one thing will lead to the next, into developing one's ability to be Zahir. At this moment, I'd like to take any questions that anyone may have. So I'm going to go ahead and release the mic. All right, and I'd like to wish everybody success in developing themselves in the character of Zihirut, in the aspect of being watchful and monitoring oneself, into performing introspection, both actively before doing and retroactively at the end of the day. And God willing, as we get more and more careful about what we do and we move forward, God will also in return bring us Mashiach. Amen.